Welcome to Within the Realm. I'm your host, Steve Garrett. Within the Realm is about stories from within my realm, curated over the course of years and experiences. Hopefully, they make a point, and those points leave their mark. Today's story takes a winding course from present day to the streets and alleyways of my hometown in my youth, about how seemingly mundane things can remind you of a forgotten but significant event. Our tale starts over the winter holiday in Kansas City, in the River Market to be exact. My oldest son took me to the KC Soda Shop, a place full of different varieties of carbonated beverages. In addition to what I would call designer sodas, the shop dealt in brands that I thought were out of business, or selections from regional bottlers. A good example being Ale 81 from the Kentucky region, or Faygo from the Detroit area. An important aspect of soda appreciation is imbibing it from a glass bottle, not plastic or an aluminum can. It's a scientifically proven fact that soda is colder and more refreshing when sipped from a glass bottle. Don't argue with me, argue with science. Now, up to this point, I've called these beverages sodas, but growing up in my neck of the woods, these elixirs were called pop. Only Yankees called them sodas. My own dear mother referred to them as soda pop, which earned her a pass. It is forgivable, as she had Yankee in her lineage. So we have established that pop from a bottle is superior to any other form in which it might be served. There was a time when bottles were the usual way in which soda was conveyed to the public, and each brand strove to have a signature look or color. Many brands were recognizable by their bottles. Think of the classic curves of a Coca-Cola, or the oddly indented Sprite bottle, or the unmistakable green of a 7-Up bottle. Pop bottles could be works of art, really. Now, growing up in rural Oklahoma in the early 1970s was very much like growing up anywhere in the 1950s. There was a marked lack of sophistication and progress, and not a lot of hurry to get to those destinations. This is not necessarily a bad thing. Life was simple, made all the more simple by the lack of choices. We had the theater, the bank, the funeral home, but one thing we did have choice on was grocery stores. We had 5 little family-run stores downtown, all of them located in the small storefront just like they had been for years. There was a small country store on the north side of town run by Swede Worley, where my grandmother traded. Swede carried my favorite brand of ice cream sandwich, and if I was lucky, and I usually was, grandmother would buy the whole box for my cousins and I. Then there was the Piggly Wiggly, all the way out on the south end of town. A supermarket, they called it. Too big and fancy for our tastes. But back to these downtown stores. There was the IGA, the store nearest to my parents' office. A convenient spot for my dad to send me to buy a carton of cigarettes when he needed one. He was an L&M man. It was a familiar sight to see the 6-year-old me running around the corner to the store with a buck in my hand, returning soon enough with the carton of smokes. My mom didn't like that I was the nicotine errand boy, but it was one of my most sacred duties. There was Worsham's, Cardinal Foods, I believe it was called, and Isaac's Grocery Store and Doss Stillwell's shop, but our family traded at Margraf's store, right there on Main Street. The place was owned by Buddy and Juanita Margraf. Buddy was jovial, as I remember it. He butchered in the back of the store. Juanita manned the register up front, and she was all business. Buddy and the other butcher in the store, Bill Eaton, took a shine to me and let me watch as they ground meat into hamburger or sliced ham, sometimes revealing meat-cutting secrets along the way, while my mother shopped in the 3 aisles of the small store. Now here's where the two narratives intersect. In the days of my youth, when pop bottles reigned supreme, they were a good source of cash. You could return pop bottles for cash for a few cents per bottle. In a time when 50 cents could buy you a candy bar, a pop, and a comic book at the Rexall, or a dollar bill could secure your admission to the Eagle Theater on a Friday or Saturday night, and still have enough cash for a pop, popcorn, and a box of Milk Duds, all this on the return of just a few bottles. Well, you could live like a Rockefeller. I was enterprising. I was always on the lookout for a loose pop bottle to add to my comic book fund. If there was construction going on in town, I stopped by after school and after the work was done to see if there were any empties lying around. After a big football game or a parade, I would scour the grounds for the glass treasures. And it generally paid off. Combining the dollar per week allowance received from my granddad and my pop bottle money, I was generally able to have a robust social life. Because we traded at Margraf's, that's where I usually cashed in my stash of bottles. Eventually, the price per returned bottle went up to 8 cents. In my economy, a mere 13 bottles stood between me and going to the movies in style. One day on my quest for bottles, I came across a Bonanza. They were in a small alley behind the bank. 5 or 6 of them, just there, waiting to be found. I snatched them up and took them to Margraf's. A couple of days later, on a lark, I ran by the spot again. To my amazement, there were a handful out there again, just waiting for me. I gathered them up and headed around to Buddy and Juanita's to convert these easy pickings into cash. The following day, I thought I would test my luck. I returned to the site once again, and there were 2 or 3 pop bottles sitting there, ready to be returned. Amazed with my luck, pop bottles in hand, I rode around the corner to Margraf's. I took the bottles in and sat them on the counter before Juanita. She looked at the bottles and sternly eyeballed me over her glasses. "Where are you getting these?" she asked. I described the route I took to this magical alleyway of endless pop bottle potential, and as I did, the realization washed over me that the alleyway was directly behind the store I was standing in. I had sold some of these bottles to Juanita at least 3 times. Both of us had different reactions to the realization of my multiple transactions. I felt stupid, but she, to put it mildly, was miffed. She took in a sharp breath and held it in for a few moments. "Buddy," she called, and in a few short seconds, Mr. Margraf appeared at the counter, cleaning his hands with his butcher's apron. Buddy smiled and he nodded at me, but Juanita was quick to tell him of my transgression. She summed it up with, "He sold us our own bottles, I don't know how many times, from right here out our own back door." Buddy looked at me kindly. "Did you know that was our alley back there?" I shook my head no. He gathered up the bottles. "Come with me," he said, and I followed him through the store, out the delivery door to my previously magical alley. He set the bottles up, just like I had seen them there the several days before. He explained to me that they returned the bottles to the bottling companies for money, too. And because the store is so small, they keep them in the alley. He could tell I got the point, and he allowed me to run along, feeling stupid all the way home. I think Mrs. Margraf was disappointed that Buddy didn't wring my neck when he had the chance, in a location away from any witnesses. But it didn't change things with him and me in the back of the store. He always treated me kindly, and acted like he was glad to see me. For a kid like me, it was so important how Buddy handled things that day. He had every right to be upset, but I think he took the longer view, teaching me a lesson about the situation, rather than just teaching me a lesson. I believe he took that approach because he saw some good in me, probably more good than I saw in myself. and that I remember the story at all speaks to the importance of the event. It was a moment when kindness won the day, even when Mrs. Margraf wanted a very different outcome. So for some, a pop in a bottle represents a lovely beverage, maybe a fond memory or two. For me, it's all that, but it also brings to mind the debt I owe Buddy Margraf. Thanks for being a part of this episode of Within the Realm. Be sure to recommend us to at least one other friend that partakes in podcasts. They can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and all major podcast channels. You can communicate with us at contact@withinpodcast.com or check out our social media sites on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. At our internet home, withinpodcast.com, you can find an archive of all of our episodes, show notes, and more. While you're there, you can sign up for our email list. Within the Realm is produced by me, Steve Garrett, and our theme music is provided by 556 and a half. And, as always, thanks for listening.